This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This day, yikes, 5 on the floor, ride for my dogs, where here's the thing, you can check the score, hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs, just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all, kept the floor clean, got a all band, y'all seen the block, stop with one hand, impact with trust, inspire, have the guts, we here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to 5 on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the 5 Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome into 5 on the Floor live for the final time this season. We'll get to the floor plan in a second, and we'll get to the comments here on the YouTube channel if you're listening on the podcast feed. Of course, you can catch up on all of this on the YouTube channel as well if you want to see how it played out live. Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor of the 5 Reasons Sports Network and of 5 on the Floor, our friends over at Autograph. Make sure you're downloading the app during the offseason. You can get plenty of content there as well. Go to autograph.io. Use the code 5. This is where you can find your content in one place. Just sign up for the Miami Heat, and you'll also get, excuse me, rough night for me too. You'll also get, as I'm choking over this season, I'm not crying, I promise. Sun went down the wrong tube here. You'll get all your content, and also you get exclusive access to contests, tickets, and more. That's at autograph.io. Use the code 5. Well, that's an auspicious start here. Here's today's floor plan. I'm going to read a quote, guys, and I appreciate those of you who joined us on playback tonight. One of our viewers on there reminded me of this. I remember this quote from the very beginning of the season, so we're going to get to it right now because – I think this quote is appropriate for this moment. We're in the fifth year, Pat Riley said. Jimmy is anxious. We're anxious. But you get to a point where does it run its course? Not Jimmy, but does the team run its course? When it comes to the championship window, we're at the abyss. I don't mean that in any kind of ill manner other than what it is. When you come to the abyss, you got to get to the other side. They did not get to the other side. And so here we are. Fifth year of this build, and this series wasn't always a disaster. And we could talk about the circumstances of it and the greatness of winning game two when they shouldn't have won it. This is a team that basically struggled to get to 80 points in three of the other games. A team that was essentially blown out in all four of the other games, with the exception of some cosmetic stuff that happened at the end of a couple of them. This is a team that got 23 points from Bam Adebayo tonight on 26 shots, but didn't get any help from anybody else. A team that had 3 3-pointers tonight in 29 attempts. Derek White on his own made 5 threes. Sam Hauser made 5 threes. The Heat as a team made 3. And we've gone through who they were missing at this stage: Jimmy Butler, Terry Rozier, Josh Richardson, Duncan Robinson essentially played like he was missing because he couldn't move out there, played 17 minutes tonight, did not make a 3. And then Jaime Jaquez again for tonight. But the reality is this was a lost season. And we kept trying to hope that they would turn it into something. But at the end, everything caught up with them. The lack of bodies, which we talked about the entire year, at times lack of passion. And what we're going to address as we go into the offseason, the lack of talent. And you put all of those things together, and you're in a situation tonight where it falls on Tyler Hero. And this felt to me, guys, and I'll start with you, Greg. It felt to me like the Jamal Mashburn 2000 Yes. Final game against the Knicks. It felt to me like the Eddie Jones game six in Detroit, 2005 Eastern Conference Finals, where you turn to your third guy when others are either not available or they're just not in the play to make a play for you, to have a game for you, and he didn't have one. And that's just the reality. This isn't hate. This is none of this stuff. I'm not a player stan one way or the other for one guy or against one guy. Tyler had his opportunity in the postseason this year to prove that he could carry when others were not available to come through. He came through once out of five times.
This tonight, Bill.
I just want to get to the numbers, Greg, and then I'll let you jump in on it. Tonight, 6 of 19, 1 of 8 from 3. Go ahead.
This build appears to have ran its course, as Pat said. And that starts with Tyler. And that's where, you know, we're going to kind of lean into this. And you're right. It does. It's reminiscent of some of those other moments where you talked about walking off the court and thinking that team's not coming back as presently constructed. I had that same type of feeling tonight. It doesn't mean that they're going to change every aspect of the roster, but I think Caleb Martin is a big question mark. Tyler Hero is a big question mark. And it's just a shame. This team, ultimately, by the end of this, did not have enough, and they sputtered to the end, and they were outclassed. And it got difficult to watch them be down by 20 immediately starting every game. So you know what? I think that it's actually a refreshing thing that they're going to be able to take a breath here and maybe reevaluate what direction they're going to go moving forward.
Brady, was there anything they could have done in this series, anything Spo could have done to make this more competitive than it turned out to be, or was this essentially a foregone conclusion?
It's tough to pick something that they could. Like, you could just say the thing that you can't really bet on, and it's like, oh, you could shoot better, you could do this. But I said it before, like, they were just out-talented, it felt like, in this series. They just did not stack up with the talent on the other side. I think the you felt better about the Porzingis-less version of this team, because it did feel like they could attack certain things. I thought they were able to kind of get decent offense at certain points against those looks and you know, not be deterred away from the rim completely. But they didn't have many options. I mean, you try to just make it into the mud, as they always say, which you can do that against certain teams like Chicago in the play-in. You cannot do that against a historic offense like Boston over a seven-game series. You just can't limit them in that way when they're able to shoot that way. When they have the isolation scores, when they have the ability that they don't really have that guy who can help off of. And this is what we're going to talk about all offseason. They did not have the scoring punch with who they had available. They did not have enough scoring. And it was not like, okay, they should have ran this more. Like, of course, when we're looking at it throughout the series, we're like, okay, they should, with what they have available, they have to try to go to this. But ultimately, like, that stuff is not going to ultimately put you over the top against this effortless offense. Every single bucket Miami tries to get, it feels like it's the hardest thing they've ever had to do. So, like, the idea that you have to consistently do that, I think you're just going to keep coming back to the fact that you just need a scoring punch. You need more just a more fluid, smooth offensive piece that doesn't feel like you're, like, running into a wall constantly. And the issue is, where I know we're saying this, and this is the asterisk that they're going to bring up, but no Jimmy and no Terry, who are going to be big offensive pieces for this team. So it's more so talking about this version of the team, and we still don't know. But the thing is, Ethan, and I know you're going to get at it, we did see it for certain points in the regular season. Like, we saw what it was. We didn't get to see it at the peak of its powers in the playoffs, but we saw it at certain points that it does feel like you have to do a lot of things right to make it successful. So now it becomes an evaluation period. But in terms of, like picking out one thing or another that they could have done, I mean, it just felt to me like they were out-talented.
0-10 against the top five teams in the West. Turned out 1-7 against Boston. So 1-17 against the teams that likely to see in a final situation. Did they beat the Knicks? Yes, they beat the Knicks once, right? They had one win against the Knicks. They had one win, I believe, against Milwaukee. They can't kid themselves. I mean, we can talk about, you know, circumstances and everything, and particularly in this series, but we didn't see it all year. We just kept hoping we would see it in the postseason. And then Jimmy gets hurt in the Philly game, And I can't excuse them for that either, because they shouldn't have been in that game. And if they're not in that game, then Jimmy doesn't get hurt. And so I'll go to you on this, Alex. And this is, you always say I give you the hard questions. Mm-hmm. If I was to say to you, the most important thing they need to address this offseason, and we have 5 months to do this, so I don't have to get into specific players here. I'm talking generalities, okay? The most important thing that they need to address this offseason, is it overall talent? Is it availability of said talent during the regular season so you're not in this position? Is it maybe some fresh thinking in terms of schemes, which we've discussed, and ways to kind of turn over this offense? I know you're shaking your head at that, but I want to throw all this out there. What is the single biggest thing that needs to be addressed by this organization so that you're not done on May 1st?
Talent that fits, I guess. I don't know if that's a cop-out answer. You got to shake it up in some way. And even as I say that, I'm just like getting these deja vus. It's just off-season after off-season having these conversations. And I was already, you know, dreading, and I've said this on here many times, having to start off-season content this early. We usually get a little bit of a playoff run. It gives us more to talk about, obviously more excitement throughout the playoff run. This, the way they went out, is just sad. It's so sad. Like, I don't know which one of, like, the losses against Boston was worse. They were all terrible. Like, they were all terrible. And then you had, like, this fake, you know, fake shooting performance in game two, which was, you know, off good process and all that, not like making a bunch of terrible shots, but you knew that it wasn't sustainable. And other than that, it's just been honestly disgusting to watch. I am sick of going to Heat games at home and watching Celtics fans leave with a smug face. I'm, you know, six straight playoff home losses dating back to last season, if I have that correct. And then the way that they went about these past couple of games. Like, we've gone over and over about, like, margin for error and, you know, having to play a tight, disciplined game. And it's easier said than done. I'm not saying, like, it's just like a button you press and you play a perfect game. I don't think we've seen that from them. I think game two was more of a result of the offense. And then tonight you start off in the first quarter allowing 41 points. Like, their defense was just not there. Was kind of... Like, I know Spo had ran out of options and was just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what would stick. But, man, just, like, his decision to play Patty, Duncan, Love, and, like, he had all three of them together at one point in the game. But just, like, instead of, I think, shortening the rotation and leaning into your defense, maybe playing one of those guys, but playing all three, I thought was very bold. You know, I thought he was going to go the other way and shorten the rotation on some Tom Thibodeau stuff. And, you know, you kind of just go all in that way. Bam played a ton. Bam played great. But just the way they went about it, like, it ended up kind of being, I think, kind of like an analogy for the season where it's like you have no identity because you couldn't even lean into your defense. You couldn't lean into your grinding them out game. It just wasn't that. It wasn't that. Like, I think in game two, you saw, like, we've seen flashes of it, right? Game two, you saw, of course, like, most of that game was a flash, was of like, that blueprint and how great and how perfect things got to go for you to be even competitive in this series. And every other game, they just start the series, like, I mean, excuse me, they start the game off bad because they can't score, and then it gets, like, into their head, and then they don't defend. And Spo said the same thing, by the way, after the first quarter when they interviewed him today. And it's just, you could tell he was disgusted with the effort. Like, there was breakdown after breakdown. And I just don't think they played the way, like, that they should have. Even with all the injuries, I just think it was a terrible way to go out. There was no identity to it. It was just a complete mess. And it's just like, once the holes were poked early in the game, it's just like all the water just kind of flows right through the dam. Like, it's over. It's over. And the way that the season ended, it was just, it really just felt like, you know, what we expected last season when they put themselves in this position. And I know I'm going all over the place right now. Well, it's just incredible to me the way that this ended. Like, it's the complete opposite of last year. Only way it could have been worse is if you got eliminated in the play-in.
Well, I mean, they got saved in the last 3 minutes against Chicago. I mean, simply, I mean, and then they found themselves, and Jimmy was the one that they galvanized behind. And, Greg, we talked about that last year. they just felt with that Jimmy that they could beat anybody. And so they, you know, that was, that basically carried them all the way up until, you know, Josh Hart took out his ankle. And then Caleb Martin kind of embodied Jimmy in the Boston series. And then they got to Denver and they ran out of gas essentially against a better team. But this year, I just think when we talk about them quitting in the series, I just think that they knew the deal. Like we talked about it before the series. This was not about coaching for a series. It was about coaching to get a game. Well, they got one. And the effort and the perfection that it was going to require to get another one, they didn't have it in them. And the thing about it, Greg, that gets me is, and I look, Boston may end up going to the finals. I honestly hope they don't, because I can't watch them. I find them kind of repugnant. I Tatum to me is the most overrated star in the league. Honestly, he didn't do anything of significance in this series where like you're scared of him the way you are of other top 10, supposed top 10 players. But this Boston team, I mean, this Eastern Conference, it was there, I think, for them. If they had just, again, taken the regular season more seriously, put themselves in a better seed, had more healthy bodies. I know it's a lot of ifs, but this was not like a Jordan Bulls type team that they were facing here. It just wasn't.
No, I think that Boston mentally, New York's going to push Boston if they see each other, I think. I like New York's makeup, and that's crazy for me to say that I'm complimenting the Knicks, but here I am. So we'll see how that series plays out. They have a ton of talent. I'm not sold on Boston, but they were just overwhelming against Miami, and there's no way around that. And I will be interested to see when they get to play the Western Conference, Boston specifically, how they match up and if they're good enough in big game spots. I don't particularly have a ton of faith in them. And so this was a year of what ifs, in that Miami had a shot here. They were within striking distance of a seed that would have provided a much better path for them to make a run here with or without Jimmy Butler, but particularly with, obviously. And it didn't pan out. And now it makes you kind of rethink every different angle of this roster going forward.
So let's get to it. I can't pick anybody on the Heat side tonight. I'm sorry, but Alex, roll it.
And now on Five on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500 square foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all day passes available for just $25, but if you mention Five Reasons, it's just $20. So mention Five Reasons or 5RSN, you get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the weight and handle. I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer, and also they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I mean, it's Derek White again, and I'm saying this because it's instructive, okay? White tonight, 8 of 13, 5 of 10 from 3, 25 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, coming off a 38-point game. 63 points for Derek White over the past two games. I mean, the Heat were struggling to get to 63 points in a single game collectively, but I do think that as we go into the offseason, we have 5 months to do transaction talk, okay? What the Celtics did to their roster, Heat fans should pay attention to, and probably the Heat front office, okay? This was not about going out and getting this superstar, megastar. Yes, they paid Jalen, and they're going to pay, ultimately, they're going to pay Tatum. Both guys they drafted, of course, in higher spots than the Heat have gotten to in recent years, right? When they went through some down years and when they picked up picks from other teams. And they made a very smart trade. Ainge made a very smart trade. Obviously, not there anymore. Now it's Brad Stevens. But to pick up Tatum and get a first-round pick in exchange for the pick that turned into Markel Fultz. But it's these other moves, okay? Because honestly, Derek White scared me more in this playoff series than Jason Tatum did, and in large degree than Jaylen Brown did. And they got him for Romeo Langford and Josh Richardson and a second, right? And then you look at the Porzingis trade, and that was a trade where, you know, again, he wasn't available tonight, but he changed the dynamic of their offense this year. And that was a risky trade. They traded kind of the heartbeat of their team, Marcus Smart, you know, to bring in Porzingis, right? They brought Horford back, okay, as a veteran who could still play. And I think when you look at all this, I think Heat fans who are just going to say, go get the star. And I'm not against getting the star under the right circumstances. If you can make a trade with somebody, if a guy asks to play for only you, and he maybe has more of a backbone than Dame did. But there are other moves you can make to improve a roster around your core guys. And the Derek White move is instructive in that way. I mean, Josh Richardson and Romeo Langford. Okay, and the guy was legitimately, I mean, is there any question on this? He was the best guard in the series, right? But is there any doubt?
He was.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the Heat got Caleb Martin. Like, this is what Boston felt like to some degree last year, when it was like, okay, we're going to limit Jimmy, we're going to limit Bam, we're going to limit some of these guys. And it's like, okay, well, we can't really adjust to Caleb as well. And that's what Miami was dealing with. It was like, okay, we have a game plan around Porzingis, Tatum, and Brown, and we're not going to be able to also just like totally adjust and say we have to take Derek White out of the game plan. Like, they just have so many options. So I think you made a really good point about buying low. I mean, there's some of these guys out there, especially when all we talk about all the time is the Miami Heat having this developmental system, having this kind of plug-and-play system, the ability to like make the most of guys. There's no reason not to do that. And here's the other thing, Ethan. I just want to point this out as well. I think it's also important that the other thing we could probably take away is that waiting until the trade deadline is probably not good enough. Like, it's such a good portion of the regular season that you're once again, even if you make that move, are going to be clawing your way up in the standings out of the play-in again or doing anything like that. So it's like, this feels like a summer thing if you're going to make a move. It's not really, okay, we have to test this out one last time. We'll see what's out there in the trade deadline. I just don't think they have that ability at this time. So that's just another thing. I think the Rozier thing kind of taught you, like, you got to do it. It's now. It's now.
That's a great point for a few reasons. And as we do this transaction episodes going forward, we'll do hundreds of them. We'll get into this. It's not just for not having to climb up the standings. And it's not just for continuity of the roster so that guys can actually play together. It's also this. There's a real business reason to make some moves in the offseason. Okay. They can't bring the same group to training camp. They just can't. They can't do it, and because we see the fan base. That is one of the reasons that front office does communicate with us is because we know we communicate with the fans, the hardcore fans, as much or more than anybody else. And it's just not going to – this fan base is not going to have it. They're just not. Like, not bringing back the exact same group. And, Greg, you talked about it, and I'm going to pivot back to Alex here, but this does remind me, and members of the current front office have said this to me. When they walked off the floor in 2000, they knew they had to make changes. Yep. It's the same people there. Okay? We're 24 years later. It's the same people because they have had success. But they knew they couldn't bring that team back. They couldn't bring it back because the mix wasn't working anymore. They couldn't bring it back because too much was being asked of Mash in his role, and he wasn't comfortable in that role. And we kind of saw that with Tyler, you know, as this has played out. And I think they also knew with the fans, I remember at that time, there was no Twitter. They wanted to change. Like, they were like, they loved PJ Brown, but they were willing to sacrifice PJ to move Mash to change the mix. I think it's just where we're at right now. Like, it's, like I said, we're in the abyss of this build.
And that's likely going to lean more and more in the direction of Tyler Hero getting loud, loud noises as trade rumors become more and more. I think Duncan Robinson is another player that ultimately, because of his contract, is going to be involved in those talks as well. And so it'll be interesting to see. Fans are going to feel like we're having the same conversation that we've had over the last few years, but I think this is a little different in that they have to acknowledge that an 8 seed 2 years in a row is not good enough, and they're going to have to shake some things up.
Alex, I'm going to run through some names for you here, okay? You ready? You tell me how your view of them has been affected in this postseason as we move forward, now that we're closing the loop on the postseason. By the way, we're also going to do an episode going back through our predictions from beginning of the year and see how those went.
That's so self-involved.
We're all over the place with those. That's not just Alex. That's me, Brady, and Greg as well. Caleb Martin.
Oh, boy. All right, so we're going one by one?
One by one.
Okay. Yeah, it's changed. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we knew going into the season that, you know, there was already kind of concern about his knee tendinosis, I believe is what he had or has, and how much it would affect his game because of how much his game is, you know, him finishing at the rim in traffic with acrobatic finishes, just a lot of stuff that takes legs. And then I think maybe what we even, and you know, including myself, underplayed was how that could affect the shot too, because that was a part of him that, you know, even though he's always had up and down moments throughout his time here, he was pretty stable as a shooter. And I think the stuff with the knee probably affected his shot too. And I think, like, when you see the hitch, it feels more pronounced than ever because it seems like he doesn't have a lot of confidence in his kind of like his lower body to generate the power and the jump shot, and it overcompensates with the arm, where he's like, you know, essentially like throwing it to get it there, like, because he's not generating enough with the legs. And anyway, I'm no shot doctor. That's just the way it looks to me. It seems like painful when he shoots it sometimes. Like, there's just not enough to get the ball there. And it resulted in a lot of, you know, weird shooting for him. I think the finishing was inconsistent. You know, he's still probably like the best acrobatic finisher on the team, but I just think you didn't see the attacking and the finishing consistently on a night-to-night basis. And then the other thing was the way that he started the season off on defense wasn't great. And, you know, it got better, but I don't even think it got back to the same level it's been at in his past for the Heat. You know, it was good, you know, good enough to be a playoff player there. But I just think, like, before, he was one of those guys who you could count on, right? And I don't know that that's still, you know, the case for him. I think he's somebody who I don't know how much I would be willing to offer him if I'm the Heat. And I'm not saying you offer him nothing and you just let him walk, but I just think it becomes a really tough conversation, because what if it gets worse, right? What if it's not just a one-year thing and he just kind of declines because of the knee stuff? So, no, I think Caleb went from somebody who was an Eastern Conference Finals MVP runner-up to somebody we've all had frustrations with this season.
$7.1 million on the player option next year. My thought is that he still will decline the option and test free agency and try to get a longer contract. So that would be my guess on it. All right, one more for you, Alex, and then we'll spin it around here a little bit just as we go forward. Haywood Highsmith to you.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Didn't play much today. I didn't see how much he ended up playing total when just looking at the minutes, but that was one guy that we thought
23.
Oh, okay. But that was one guy who I thought they could like get more of in the playoffs and play a lot more. And I just think Spo, you know, the decisions he made in these past couple of games with his rotation to me show that he was very much just looking for any sort of offense, right? Like playing Patty, trying to get stuff out of Duncan. Like today, they were actually getting some stuff out of him, like just, you know, with his two-man game with Bam, even with him not looking like himself, the defenses were still panicking at some points there. And, you know, playing Kevin Love, even though he played him less, I just think he was desperate for offense. And Haywood is definitely not somebody who is giving you much there. Like, I think that little floater he's got in the short mid-range is pretty money. Outside of that, I don't really trust him to do a lot on offense. And, you know, I really love Haywood's defense. I haven't changed much there, although I did have some frustrations with him in this series. I still think he was good overall, but, like, there was just too many times, including today, where he was kind of jumping for joy. And I think just, you know, doing a little bit too much there. He's overall still a great defender. I haven't really changed my opinion there, but I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they handle his and Caleb's contracts this summer, because they're two guys who, you know, they kind of represent like some of the Heat's offensive problems, like two good like kind of symbols of that, where it's like two guys who constantly get helped off of and who are really up and down at best as shooters at this point. And like you appreciate the other things they bring, but it's like at what cost, right? Because of the way that your roster is built, you know, how do you balance out having enough two-way talent that fits with each other? And maybe you don't bring both of them back. And I think that's probably what everybody thinks is going to happen, is maybe one of them is back and maybe, you know, a guy like Tyler is traded. I think that's where everybody's already looking to. I don't know what we can expect this summer, but I do know like those two guys, it's, you know, they're not going to cross the second apron to bring both of them back. That's for damn sure.
No, they're not. Bobby Marks has put this out, Greg, so I'll go to you on this. He's already put out his off-season outlook. I'm sure we'll have Bobby on the pod at some point in the offseason. He typically comes on with us. Committed salary, $189 million. That's over the tax threshold of $171. First apron is $178. The second apron is $185.5. We know they're not going to go over the second apron. They've made that very clear publicly and privately. They're right up against it. He's including their first round pick and the hero bonuses. So their first round pick is 15, their second round pick is 43, and their free agents, Caleb, Haywood, Kevin Love has a player option. Of course, Caleb has a player option. Again, I'm still expecting him to opt out of that. Delon Wright is a free agent. Patty Mills is a free agent. And who am I missing? Thomas Bryant has a player option.
So when you go into free agency, if Caleb declines his option, you move that much further away from the second apron, but that's basically all you have to spend with your exception money, because you're not going to try to go over that second apron. So this is going to be much more an off season that's geared toward trades versus free agency acquisitions.
Brady, let me throw this at you and then we will get finally to the play of the night. Maybe we should do the play of the year instead. We'll get to an injury report, I guess. There's no next game to get to. But I want to throw this question at you, because this is sort of the existential question as we look at different builds and which way they need to go this offseason. And I said on the pod with Greg that I'm against the blended bridge timeline situation at this point. I think it's very hard to accomplish. We saw that with the Warriors, but I feel like that is the way the Heat will probably go. Whereas to me, it's either you go all in on the Jimmy build, but you better get from Jimmy more than 60 games next year, I think and a lot of them at a high level, so that you don't end up in this seed if you're going to mortgage some of the future, or you go all in on a BAM build. And if that means moving Jimmy, then that's a direction at least. I know a lot of Heat fans would not agree with that. Let me ask you this. If they were totally healthy this year, if they had Rozier, if Duncan looked like the Duncan of the first half, which we haven't talked about that enough. I said that on playback. That killed them. Like, it really did. Like, we talk about Jimmy, we talk about Terry, but Duncan was essentially, he was a ghost, and it wasn't his fault, but that's a concern going forward also. But he was so critical to whatever they did do offensively the first half of the season. They couldn't replicate it without it. I'll ask this. If they were healthy and Jimmy was playing at even – do you think Jimmy would have had enough with what you saw from him this season to take them over the top in the way that he has a couple of times in the postseason before?
I think he'd have a real shot. And I'm not just, you know, this is all hypothetical, but I really do believe in the abilities of Jimmy Butler this time of year. I think that with the style that they play, I think Terry would have been big in terms of them just actually getting a shot off in a lot of possessions. Like, I think he would have helped, but I think there still is this ability that we've seen it in the regular season that I think that they need more. Like, they need more to get them over the top. But in terms of, like, right now this year, when I look at the East, I don't think it's crazy to say that they would be in a little bit of a different position. Not that they'd have it all like last year, but I think it'd be pretty – you'd have a decent shot in the Eastern Conference. But the issue is you're not playing to get Eastern Conference banners. You're playing to win championships. And I just – I think when you look at this roster, even if things were to break right, they just don't – Denver and these teams in the Western Conference feel to have the upper hand on them majorly. So that's the thing. That's the thing that they're ultimately going to have to look at. Would it change? We were talking about it before, though. The issue is, like, I know we're going to have this conversation about going in the Jimmy direction or going in, you know, the Bam timeline. But do we really think that, like, I understand what we're saying, but I just can't see them picking in this offseason between the two. I think it's every single other person, as much as we hype up, you know, the other guys on this team. It's those are the pieces they're going to dangle, and it probably won't be enough, which is why we go back to what you said before, mm-hmm. is about being the other outer pieces that they're going to have to make along the way once they strike out. But they're not going to trade Jimmy Butler, and they're definitely not going to trade Bam Adebayo.
I think they're a year late on the building around Jimmy and Bam. And again, I don't blame them entirely for that, because if Joe Cronin had done what was best for the Blazers, I still think that would have pointed towards the Heat. But Cronin, that wasn't what he was about. And sometimes you just run into circumstances that are beyond your control. So I don't blame them for that. But it does feel like it's an offseason too late for that. We'll see. And we'll talk about some of the players that may be available to them. And I know Mitchell's going to be the one that comes up to everybody. I'm not trading Bam for any of these guys. To me, this is about getting one of them with Bam there. I'm not looking to trade Jimmy Butler, but I am concerned, okay, about availability and durability as he ages, when he's already past a minutes point where most players are already retired. And now we've started to see some things pile up, and we know he's going to want two more years at a max. And that is concerning, because it limits everything else that you can do. So if you're doing it, if this is the idea that you're saying, okay, we effed up with Dwayne, okay, we don't want to make that mistake again. I know this goes through their heads. Okay, we're going to take care of this guy who basically saved us from the Hassan Whiteside era, and we're going to reward him for past performance, okay? If they're going to do that, they have to be sure what they're going to get from him. What they're going to get from him, because otherwise that could set this franchise back years. You give him an extension and you trade all these other young pieces that you've been compiling, including maybe even the 15th pick this year. Not a great draft, but the Heat, I know everybody's going to bring up the precious thing, but four of the last five drafts that they picked in this range, they've done very well. If they're going to give up on those pieces, on extending the window here, if Pat's going to be 80 next year, okay, I understand there are some time constraints here. They got to get more out of Jimmy than they did this year. I just don't think it's enough to say 50 games, 55 games. And, I mean, he didn't show up against the best teams this year. We went through it. Against the 10 best defenses in the league, he shot under 43%. I mean, you know, and he averaged under 20. And I just think you don't have to have it all during the regular season, but he's got to give you more. And I don't know how you can guarantee
extended offseason.
Well, that is the thing. As we talk about silver linings and green shoots here, there is a rest here. okay? All of May, all of June, and Greg and I talked about this on the last pod. Bam's going to be in the Olympics, but that's actually a good experience, okay? He's not going to be counted on to carry. He's going to be around not just stars he can recruit, okay? But he's also going to be around guys like LeBron and Curry and Durant, okay? Durant hasn't really done it lately, but he's going to be around championship-type people who are going to be praising him, building him up. That's all good, okay? Jimmy needs the rest, and Tyler needs a change of scenery. That's where I'm at. Like, we've talked about it. Get healthy. I think it's the best thing for Tyler Hero at this point, too. I just think he needs a fresh start in another place. Maybe it's in a team where he can get consistent shots. But I just don't see how this works again next year. That's kind of where I'm at. All right, Alex, load it up, and then I'm gonna give you the hardest question of all. I want awesome. You to pick the play of the year.
Oh my God.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette Play of the Night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at insurancebylynette.com.
All right, Alex, give it to me. It can be the best player of the year, or it can be the most symbolic player of the year, which might be, I don't know.
Every fast break where they have a 3-on-1, that's the one. But no, thank you to shout out Leif in our private chat here, saving me because I honestly, like my brain is fuzzy right now. Like all my memories are just Boston Celtics winning in Miami and me leaving there in a bad mood. And my memory is just not great right now because it's winning or misery for us too. So shout out to Leif for coming in here with a good reminder of the time when there was still like glimmers of hope for sure. When Bam hit the three at the buzzer, I think that's probably number one. For this year, that was really fun. You know, one of the layers of this season is Bam now takes the three occasionally. You know, did it save their offense like some people thought? No, it did not. But yeah, that's the best play.
How about Jimmy's game winner against Chicago, which was great. Yeah. Unfortunately, that led him to take many more of those. None of which actually
that was going to happen regardless.
Right, but that one was pretty great. I don't know, man. I'm just remembering fast breaks. Haywood trying on the fast break, you know, 4-on-1s that turned into 4-on-5s and turnovers. No,
it's actually a disadvantage when they have 3-on-1 in fast break.
Yeah. There were some high May moments early in the season. I think too. I think as we back off from this season, I think to say that it was all bad. And we don't want a sunshine pump tonight. We can't after what we just watched. But to say it was all bad, I mean, I think to me what this season is going to end up being remembered for, if these players develop here or whether they're moved for someone else, is that, you know, we got to see, you know, Jaime Jaquez burst on the scene, become a fan favorite, I think show a lot of the attributes that they had hoped to see. And I think even it was even better at times until he hit the rookie wall than we expected. And Nikola Jovic, I mean, somebody who was, you know, basically being shuttled back and forth to the G League to try to get him a few reps at the five so that maybe he could play a few minutes this season. And then he ends up starting at the four. So those are some of the positive things. All right, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, if you're on the podcast page, you won't see this. But Alex, throw them up. We've got some gone fishing photos here. Are we going to, by the way, are we going to Cancun or are we going to that dirty water in Galveston? Is Mark sending us somewhere?
Oh man,
ain't going to Texas.
Where are we going in South Florida? Where are we going? I don't want anybody in Fort Lauderdale. So you
the
guys are
go on the West Bay Coast. Water. Go to the West Coast of Florida.
Yeah, Fort Myers.
Yeah,
where are we sending everybody?
Benita Springs.
Let's throw them up.
Before we do that, can we put a lid on this game really quick? Because I have some stats that kind of
no.
I mean,
It's really quick. It's
just do them while we watch, while we look at these things.
We'll get you a sponsor for the stats next year. Nobody wants to hear the stats about this game. Nobody. You want? I'll tell you what. 30 minutes, you can do all the stats on the season. We're just going to do a podcast just on that. No one wants to hear the stats on this game.
You're just giving me homework now. No, I just wanted to say that, look, they got out-rebounded by 27, and they went 17 for 66 on their jumpers today. Transition offensive rating of 60 and allowed a 98th percentile offensive rating for the Celtics in the first half.
They allowed a 98th percentile offensive rating. All right. Nobody
needs to hear that. No, but you know what? Like, I'm sorry. Like, we got to hold them accountable, right? That's what everybody wants.
We're
holding
accountable.
It was a shit effort. You know, of course, nobody expected – I mean, none of us expected them to win. It was a shit effort with a lot of breakdowns, and they ended the season sadly. And, oh, my God, what the hell is going on?
All right, let's throw them up. I'm not saying – okay, here we got – our first one, by the way, thanks to Sean Rochester for – we're doing this. This one, we have our guy Eternal, who is the host on our Playbook channel. He's right about everything except the 99% of the times he's wrong. He's a big Jovic fan, so it's Eternal with four Jovic's. There you go. So go into the offseason. This is me. I don't like
this
my
is
clothes
us with
there.
Mickey.
All of us with Mickey. There you go.
This one has layers and layers like the Kendrick did.
It does, but that fish is going to put us over the second apron, though.
Check out the bucket. Check out the bucket there. I don't know if you caught that.
I see the. Why are we all wearing patriotic shorts, by the way? Except for Alex.
I don't wear red, white, and blue.
Alex also not smiling. I'm stunned that you can find a photo like that. This is my favorite of all of them. This is So Mickey and Pat on a boat on the they like their team boat. Joe Cronin is in the water with of course Barry Jackson, who coined they like their team except reality. Barry's on a burner right now tonight on Twitter. You got to check that out. So there's that one. This one is our our floor crew / floor's yours crew. We've got Duncan. That's when he had a back where he could stand up straight. Tyler seems happy there with our guys Tony Schwartz, Timothy Bain, Sean, Brian, and also Matt Hanifin. And then there's another one on here I guess we can load up before we go. There we go. Oh, I'm in.
There's a couple more.
Probably the first interview Kyle gave me the entire time. That's our guy Ray, Kevin Love, and Naveen. He was our late, was our buyout acquisition at the end of the year, so that he's on there as well. Is that – oh, one more.
There's another one after this too.
We got Mateo, we got Ben, we got Major,
Jimmy.
Yep, Spo and Jimmy there.
And Ernie.
Oh, we got Ernie?
Ernie, right?
That is Ernie. Well, Ernie's always got to be next to Jimmy, so that's where it is. He's complaining that Bam didn't catch enough fish.
This boat is incredible.
That's it. And then this one, we've got Pat, Bam, and Jaime.
So is that a whale in the water?
Sean, do we are they sending Jaime overboard for Mitchell? Is that what's going on here?
They have enough fish.
They have enough fish. That's the best one.
Oh God, I'm sorry. I don't know why that keeps happening.
All right. Anyway, as we close here, a couple of announcements, and again, you'll hear these on the podcast feed as well. We're not going anywhere. We're going to regroup. We're going to cover the NBA playoffs. Probably not a lot of Celtics games, honestly. Pivot a little bit to the Western Conference. Do some theme episodes. They have a draft pick. We'll see if they keep it. They can't trade it before the draft anyway, so we'll do some draft stuff. Greg's got you for that. We'll bring others on from our network, sign up for the Discord. We're going to be on there a lot more. I'm taking a break from Twitter for a little while, or at least a small break. So check that out. Also, if any of you are Panthers fans, we still have a team in the playoffs down here. We're going to do more coverage on them. Alex Baumgartner is going to be handling them, and we may get a series with Boston and then the Rangers afterwards. So we expect there to be interest. Of course, Dolphins training camp starts in July. So we will check all of that stuff out. Alfredo Arteaga, our guy here, 3 yards per carry. You can catch all their coverage there as well. So we're not going anywhere as a network. We're going to be expanding. But we appreciate all of you following us all year long. We literally did a podcast off, I think, every game this year again. And I know Greg had to carry a lot of these when Alex and I and Brady were at the game. So we appreciate everybody from Sean to Brian to Eternal to Major and a whole bunch of others, Naveen, et cetera, who appeared on post games this year with Greg as well. So thanks to everybody for checking us out. Again, we'll try to be as straightforward and as nuanced, but I think we are going to expect and demand changes this offseason because I can't watch this anymore. We are at the abyss, and we didn't like the looks of it. So, again, thanks, everybody, and thanks to our sponsors all year long, EricRubenstein.com, Rock Esports Center, and, of course, I got to say our favorite sponsor because she's with us on every stream, every playback, Lynette, insurancebylynette.com. Get your car insurance, get your life insurance, and go get, I guess, Donovan Mitchell or Kevin Durant. Don't give me another stat. I don't want another stat. No interest in a stat.
We didn't do the injury report.
You know what? Roll it. We'll close with this.
And now it's time for the official Five on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan. But the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, EricRubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you on Instagram. And now, the injury report.
They're all hurt. They were hurt all season. See you in 2024-25.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.